Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to another special edition of the Forcing Fire American Soccer Show. Women's World Cup action once again as the United States, they defeat China by a final of a goal to nil, a Carly Lloyd header in the second half in the 51st minute off a great cross from Johnston, as the women will now advance to the quarterfinals, to the semifinals against the Germans, who just went through an amazing penalty kick shootout against the French, where the French had the 1-0 lead, and then the Germans came back to tie it, and this thing went all the way into penalties after there was no results or no goals in extra time. And the United States now will have a real challenge on their hands coming on Tuesday, June the 30th, over at the Olympic Stadium, Stade Olympique in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, as we are already getting ready to have some fun here on this post-game show. The United States women defeat the Chinese women 1-0. Carter Krishnar will be joining me. Hopefully we'll have someone else on with us, if possible, to talk about this match. And all I can say is that this has been let me just say this right now, because I understand why Jill Ellis is put under pressure. This is not supposed to be a United States team that's supposed to be defending every single time. They're supposed to put in goals. They're supposed to put in a lot of goals as much as possible when they are on the attack, but you never know what's going to happen. You never know how these things are going to come around and to come about. And they're supposed to be the better team. Yes, it's an older team. There are some players that are probably going to be calling it quits, maybe with the national team later on. But the truth of the matter is this, is that I don't ever fault the tactics of a coach, because the truth is that the players are good enough to go out there and to perform. If they're not scoring enough, then that's their own fault. I think that Jill Ellis has put her team into a position where they are always able to get into great positions, and they're always able to find a way to convert their chances. You know what the problem is? The problem is that everyone else has gotten better. The field has improved. The nations have improved. Everything's improved. The keeping has improved for these nations as well. And all I can say is this, is that this game for the women, there is improvement. The United States raises the bar. The United States have raised the bar for all these opponents that want to face them, that wants to be like them, that wants to take them down. And the United States right now, in my opinion, are the ones that are being hunted, they're being chased. And now look what's going on. Look at what is going on here. Look at the situation we have. We have women's teams that are improving tremendously. Why aren't they putting in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 goals a game? Why? Because the rest of the world, those who are taking the women's game seriously, they have upped their game as well. They've improved. And that's just the truth of the matter. Everyone around the world has improved. Now, obviously, there are probably still some countries that will scoff at the women's game, but now, look at what's going on. Look at what everyone was telling me about. The German-French quarterfinal match should have been the final. But you know what? This is what happens when, the luck of the draw. And unfortunately for the French and the Germans, they face each other in the quarterfinals. This could not be done in the final. And that's the one thing for sure that we're seeing right now. And I got to just say this. got to say this. You know, the women have done a great job of playing some smart defense. Because I'll say this right now. I think maybe, just maybe, we're seeing the women's game on the national level improving up to a point where it's just tougher for our girls to get more than a goal scored. Joining me now from World Soccer Talk, Carter Krishnari, just came off of Rabble.TV with his co-host covering this match on Rabble.TV. Kartik, I think while everyone's been raving about this game, everyone's been happy about the performance of the U.S. national team, and they won this by a goal to nil, obviously. Only one goal was converted. Can we say this really now? I think the nations that have taken this game seriously for women's soccer, I think the defense has improved. I think their offensive capabilities have improved. I think everything's improved. And I think it's just harder now for the United States to get goals.
Yeah, first off, Daniel, actually, I didn't do the game on Rabble tonight. Jason Davis did it, so I wasn't calling the game. Those of you on Rabble TV, listen to Jason Davis, the host of Soccer Morning, call the game. I agree with your observation. I mean, I think what happened, what we're seeing is that the United States going forward is still creating chances, but teams are better organized defensively. They've kind of figured out how to defend the U.S. on set pieces, although it was a great header goal tonight by Carly Lloyd. And the U.S. is not converting their chances and scoring goals in bunches the way the U.S. used to. And we saw that we've seen that throughout the World Cup. I mean, we saw a game today between Germany and France earlier, just a spectacular game of football, soccer, whichever you prefer. It was a 1-1 game, and there were so many chances, but the defensive capabilities have gotten better, and it's kind of caught up with the attacking capabilities. Now, this is very similar to what happened in the men's game. The men's game, you'll see back when Hungary was dominating, when all that stuff was going on in the late in the early 1950s, and when the great eras of some of the incredible Brazilian teams from 58 to 70. In international football, you would see score lines like 10-1, 9-2, 11-0. You'd see these lopsided score lines, which you just don't see anymore in the men's game. You see teams that are tactical and they're defensive and they're able to able to snuff out danger. And even the Gibraltar held Germany scoreless for like 30 minutes two weeks ago. So Germany ended up winning 7-0, but it was still a struggle. We're seeing that in the women's game now, and yes, Germany and Norway ran rampant over Cote d'Ivoire and over Thailand. But with that exception, this tournament is showing us that the score lines we used to see from U.S. games, right? 7-0, 8-0, mm-hmm. Abby Wambach mm-hmm. hat tricks, Carly yep. Lloyd hat tricks. We're just not seeing that, and we're not going to see that. That era is done.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think the era is done because, like I've said many, many times, if it's not the United States, it's China. If it's not China, it's Norway. Those were the three nations that you knew was going to give either each other a battle or going to give the lesser power nations an opportunity to get a sniff of the goal.
Right.
And now we're seeing improvement. We're seeing improvement across the board here. Once again, maybe some of the South American countries outside of Brazil and Colombia, you know, I mean, they still get sneered, of course, back home. But still, you know, Martha's improved. You know, Martha's girls have improved tremendously. The Colombian girls are improving as well right now. We don't know about Argentina. We don't know about Bolivia. We don't know about Venezuela, if their countries are going to take the women's game seriously. But we're seeing this right now. I mean, look at this. I mean, the French. I mean, you saw a great quarterfinal matchup. I had a chat on Twitter with Andrew Gibney from French Football Weekly saying basically
yeah.
him and everyone else was saying France-Germany should have been the final. That should
yeah,
have been the final. And it ended as a quarterfinal, but it was a great match.
Yeah, it's just like which groups you get drawn in, and obviously all the group winners, if all the group winners advance, in the knockout stage, you're all going to be in the quarterfinals, and someone has to play someone else, right? So It was just a crapshoot. Germany ended up playing France. But I think coming into this tournament, at least I saw those two teams as the two most likely to win the World Cup, and I saw the United States third. They all end up on the same side of the bracket. So that's I'm not suspicious, but it's just that's just the way the ball bounces, right? That's the way the luck of the draw. It all came out of the draw last December and mid December. I think the France Germany game was the thing that was really telling was that France is finishing, and we've known France's midfield is really good. We've known that for a while now. And that was something, that's why coming into this calendar year, into 2015, I thought, okay, France is probably going to win this World Cup because their midfield is outstanding, but they just don't have the finishers up front that the U.S. has with an Avion back, even though she's at the end of the line, and then Alex Morgan, what Germany has with her Sausage and some of the other players they've got, and even kind of the finishers you see teams like Norway, England have, and Japan. So that ultimately was France's undoing. I mean, I thought they were the best team in this game. I mean, I thought they were the better team. And but they were unable to convert their opportunities. Nassib had an opportunity in the first minute, much like Amy had for us in the first minute, and she wasn't able to finish it. Amy Rodriguez, A-Rod, if I call her, she wasn't able to finish. The chance for us in the first minute, but then you saw in the 117th minute, you know, deep into extra time, an absolutely unbelievably good opportunity for France, beating the offside trap from Germany. German defenders are standing around looking for the call, looking for the flag. Flag never comes. Flag never goes up, and guess what happens?
Yep, absolutely.
She misses the chance, and then penalties, I think at that point, after France misses two golden opportunities to win the game, you're thinking penalties, Germany are going to win. But it was up until the last penalty. I mean, the penalties were superbly taken. It was just a great game.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I was going to say is, since the London games with the women's side, you know, the French have been improving, and the French are looking strong. You're right, of course. The midfield looked a little suspect for the French. But still, though, you know, you're missing chances.
I think the midfield has been outstanding for France. What I'm saying was their finishers have been suspect.
Absolutely. I apologize. That's my misunderstanding. But what I was saying was that, you know, what I'm saying, though, is that you're seeing, you know, improvement from the French from the London Games and the Women's Olympic Games up till now. And it's been fantastic. The Germans, the Swedes have been great. I mean, obviously, I'll say this for the Swedes right now. This is a poor World Cup for them. I don't know if maybe they don't have the right players, or maybe Pia's tactic doesn't suit for her national team.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were probably going to lose to Germany anyway, but the tactics from Pia were awful in that Germany game. Awful. I mean, just trying to play long balls forward, and what we saw Germany do is that they pressed high, they forced mistakes, and that's what kind of turned the game.
Yeah,
I mean, turned the game instantly. And and so Germany can press high, which is something the U.S. has to be worried about in the next round.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's going to be a big, big concern right there for the U.S. because Germany looks very strong. See, that's what I like about what's her name, who's on the dais for the Fox coverage, who's also German. She never broke a sweat, man. She never broke a sweat at the table with Wallace, with Rob Stone. She's just cool, calm, collected. The Germans, you know us. We have this. You know, she was she was absolutely not fazed whatsoever. That's how confident she is of her national team.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's just a funny thing right there. But I'll say this right now, Kardik. Once again, just a fabulous game. United States winning 1-0 over the Chinese, who are, you know, I understand it's a work in progress right now with this national team for China. This is not the typical Chinese team that you'd expect. But outside of the Lloyd header, and I will agree to a fault that they were overmatched by this veteran U.S. team, But I think the truth of the matter is this. The Chinese were able to absorb the pressure from the U.S. They were able to hold their own. Once they figured out what was going on, where this attack was coming from, how to handle it, how to take control of it, try to find a way to limit the damage. I'm not saying they're trying to look into extra time, but obviously if they're going to get on a late counter, which I don't know if they were going to connect, but you can tell or you felt like when you got to halftime at 0-0, Kardik, you felt the Chinese could sneak one in if the U.S. had a great day statistics-wise, except for the scoreboard. Did we just lose Kardik?
Yeah, U.S.'s finishing was poor. We saw in the first minute Amy Rodriguez miss a great chance, and then she was in on goal. And then some other chances after that. But that's what you do. I mean, you try and absorb pressure, and then you try and hit the other team on the break, or you have a counterattack, and you score on the counterattack. So China has enough quickness, although they don't quite have the pace they previously had, and they don't have the pace that Japan has, and that Germany has, and that France has. The U.S. fast four looked a little bit vulnerable at times today. I mean, not mm-hmm. terribly vulnerable. It wasn't that threatening, but there were some issues, I think, at points in this game, defensively.
Absolutely. I agree with you there. I thought that the U.S. defense had their issues once in a while, but they were still solid, they were still strong, and they still found ways to handle that pressure from China. I think China is going to be one of those nations that's going to be dangerous again. I think they just probably need a couple more finishers here and there. But boy, oh boy, Kardik, I think once they controlled the pressure of the United States, I thought China really held off the USA very, very well. They almost had a couple of chances to either equalize, or if they did equalize, to at least go ahead. But once again, I think once Lloyd made that header off the great cross from Julie Johnston, that issue was absolutely gone, and China was playing from behind.
Yeah, I think, and then at that point, China's chasing the game. The U.S. is not able to get that second goal to kill the game off, though, and that was a bit of a concern. Obviously, Abby came on for the last 6 minutes and change, 6 minutes and stoppage time. Mm-hmm. But Abby didn't, the good news is the Germany game, because obviously I think we're still at the point where we think that when the U.S. gets into a big game and a tough situation against an opponent that's of equal strength, you're going to have Abby Wambach on the pitch. She's probably going to have to bail you out. And unfortunately, we're not going to have her much longer. But that's where we still are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of the belief that Amy Rodriguez being able to play 84 minutes today was a very good thing to spell Abby Wambach, who's 35 years old, who isn't playing club soccer, who hates playing on turf, has been kind of a lightning rod this World Cup because of the things she said. But, of course, she's going to be a lightning rod because that's her personality, and that's also, she's the person everyone wants to interview. So, Abby's post-game comments after the last game were very controversial, got her in hot water, but everybody's sticking a microphone in her face, right? They're not interviewing the other player. I mean, they're interviewing the other player, not to the extent that they're interviewing Abby Wambach. So this took a little bit of pressure off. She was able to kind of sit and rest today, and she was available if the U.S. needed the late goal, and I think that means she'll be fresh for Tuesday, which is important.
It really is important. It's really, really important. And you really need a healthy and 100% Abby Wambach to go out there. She's going to face a huge challenge now, a very, very huge challenge when it comes to this German team that's going to be on Tuesday. I want to talk about possession here, Kardik, and I think it's really important to tell everyone why we felt that China seemed to be a little bit more improved than what many people gave him credit for. When this match got underway, before the 20th minute came, I was on the FIFA match cast, and above the lineups is, of course, the statistics. United States started off possession at 61-39 in favor of them. 61% for the U.S., 39% for China. And as this game kept on going, possession got a little bit better for China, but at the time, in the 24th minute, it was 56-44 in favor of the United States. Now, at the end of this match, and, you know, obviously possession might not be a big thing, but here's how it ended. 44% for China, 56% for the United States. Giant discrepancy, not anymore, because then we've seen China actually calming themselves down, playing the way they're supposed to play. They just couldn't get that final ball or that final moment to go through, and that's why the USA's defense was just so huge in this game.
Yeah, U.S. defense has been really good, and Hope Solo hasn't been tested, right? So
that's right.
And I think it'll be very, very interesting to see how that holds up against Germany, because Germany is going to come at them. Germany has finishers. You give Germany a mm-hmm. On goal, they're probably going to finish their chances. But at the same time, the U.S. isn't yielding a lot of chances. Hope Solo is not having to make a lot of saves. She had to make one long-distance save in this game that I remember.
Yep. Just one, and it still wasn't hard enough. It wasn't difficult enough for Hope Solo. She actually had maybe like one or two bounced her way or came right at her. Other than that, whatever save she made, it wasn't really a tough save. It wasn't a quality – not saying she didn't make a quality save, but the shot didn't have enough quality on it. So that's why I'm saying that, you know, while those are good saves, and they're very good saves, and that's what you want, just the save didn't have enough quality on it because the shot didn't have enough quality on it. That's the thing.
Yeah. No, right. And didn't have kind of a spin. I think, though, we saw the effectiveness of a high-pressing game today. Amy Rodriguez starting in place of Abby Wambach gave the U.S. the options to kind of face a lot. And Amy's the fastest player in the U.S. player pool. I'm trying to make comparisons to men's players or to players in other women's national teams. Let's not do that, but we'll just say she is our fastest player. She's fast.
Listen,
she's lightning quick. I mean, I'm
not
going to cover her a lot. She's lightning quick, and that's really what she brings, because she's not a good finisher. She doesn't really have a good touch. We saw that a couple times today. She has a high work rate. She has kind of a high soccer IQ, and she runs like the wind. So putting Amy in for Abby kind of changed that dynamic, which allowed the U.S. to press high and take China out of their game early, which is why that possession statistic was 61-39 so early, because I think it was because Amy was playing. But then as China figured it out and figured out the U.S. was going to press high, we're going to pass past them, things became very equal in this game. And without Abby on the pitch, you're thinking, where are you going to get a goal from? It's going to have to come probably from either Alex Morgan, who's not really at the races this World Cup, or from the midfield and Carly Lloyd. And, yes, it came from the midfield and Carly Lloyd.
Yeah,
wonderful.
I agree with you there. Absolutely. I agree with you, and I also believe Amy Rodriguez is the type of forward. Obviously, she's going to be the future for the national team when Abby Wambach is officially done.
Because Amy's been around for a while. I mean, she's 20, maybe 7, so she's 28 now. She's got some years left. But she's not a finisher. She's not a goal scorer. I mean, Amy has like 150 caps and has scored maybe 25 goals, and a lot of them have come against CONCACAF teams. So that's not her role. I mean, I know she's a forward. I know she was actually playing further forward than Alice for most of the game, but that's not her role. Her role is to be very much like I'm trying to think of a men's comparison. And we had a men's national team player that didn't score a lot of goals, but was a forward, but would chase and would find side pockets. You know, maybe going back in the day, a little bit different player, but a guy like Roy Wagerle, who used to find pockets to space, do some interesting things. I mean, we've had some guys like that in the men's pool. I think certainly she showed her worth today. I think Kelly O'Hara starting on the right side. Now, I've been calling for Heather O'Reilly to play this entire World Cup. We haven't seen her until the final few minutes today, and she came on, and I was happy to see that. I thought you slide O'Reilly in on the wing with Megan Al, and I thought that was what you would do. Morgan Brian, Lauren Cheney's a straight swap. So that was pretty good, though. I mean, I thought it went well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. We'll see what happens there. But, you know, I want to talk about Jill Ellis for a minute here, Kardik. And I feel like I kind of been defending her a little bit, and I'll tell you why. And I understand, you know, Michelle Akers, how she was upset that this is not the United States that she knows. This is not the United States that she knows that, you know, they're not scoring enough. They're not made, you know, the only game they've gotten more than a goal in was the opening match against Australia in the group stage. Now, you know, Tony DiCicco, he's upset with what Jill Ellis's tactics were doing, you know, in the round of 16 game against Colombia, how he said that she's devalued attacking down the flanks. And I felt that was very harsh against Jill Ellis. Not to say that I've been a fan of hers or anything like that, or I'm not saying, you know, well, I'm fully behind her or anything like that. Look, there's been some questionable choices in the lineup. There's been questionable tactics here from her, of course. But the thing that these people have to understand is she's doing what she feels is best for the national team. You know our buddy Dave Denholm. When Bob Bradley took over the national team after Bruce Arena was not kept and he went back to manage an MLS, you know, you know our buddy Dave, you know, we love Dave. God bless him, Dave Denholm. I love him too and everything. But the whole empty bucket formation, I thought that was not fair against Bob. I mean, you know, Michael, of course, at the time, his offensive capabilities was not fully there yet, but I understood why that Bob used him as a defense, or at least using two defensive midfielders, at least a holding midfielder, or maybe start from the deep in the midfield near defensive line to bring the ball up and then spring the attack. I can understand why he did it, because we didn't have an offensive guy to spray the ball around and be that creative, which now Michael Bradley is. Jill Ellis, in my opinion,
let me jump in here for a minute. On that formation, okay, because I know it's still a bugaboo for a lot of U.S. fans, that became, okay, teams are not playing with the 4-4-2, right, a 4-2-2-2 with the bucket, Bob Bradley played, but they are almost all over the world now playing with two defensive midfielders. They're playing a 4-2-3-1, or they're playing – you know, a version of a 4-3-3 that leaves two guys back and lets one person go forward. So I have to tell you, Bob Bradley was kind of ahead of the curve with those tactics. We didn't necessarily have the dynamic players in midfield to pull it off. Now, where I have an issue with Jill Ellis, well, okay, so let's contrast that with Jill Ellis. Jill Ellis has been using two midfielders in this World Cup. She has essentially been using Carly Lloyd, who is the most dynamic, attacking midfield player in the women's game on this planet as a defensive midfielder, to where Carly could not get forward and make runs and take shots from distance and the things that Carly Lloyd has done so freaking well for 10 years. So that's why I've had the problems with Jill Ellis. I know you're defending her, but it's been really about the use of Carly Lloyd. Now, Carly got the goal today. So she got it because she came forward and she got a header. So I think maybe Jill Ellis is loosening up on that, but the reason I've been so frustrated, I know everybody's been frustrated other than you about her. My rationale has been over the use of one player. And again, I think Carly Lloyd is like that Frank Lampard player, or that Steven Gerrard, or that that's at the women's game. And she got the goal today. So I have less criticisms of Jill Ellis. Now, we'd won 1-0, and Carly had still been playing deep, and the goal come from Amy Rodriguez or Alex Morgan, I might still be criticizing. But I think she realized her mistake. Put Morgan Bryan in the holding midfield, let Carly get forward a little more. And I thought Carly was very good today. She was forward more, which is what I want to see.
Oh, no, absolutely. I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you there. Like I said before, I admit sometimes Jill, her tactics are frustrating, and I admit they are frustrating. But finally seeing Carly Lloyd being in her natural position of attacking – that's why she was able to get freed up a bit, and that's why she put herself in a great position to head that ball from Johnston and to make it 1-0. I'm agreeing with you. I think what she's doing, you know, putting Lloyd in that position is wrong. Absolutely, I agree with you there.
So we're in agreement.
But
yeah.
No, we are in agreement there. I agree that sometimes her tactics are frustrating, but if I can be a little bit open-minded, shall I say this, you know, this is her first run going through a World Cup, okay? Tony DiCicco has gone through many World Cups with the U.S. Pia Sundhage, Olympics and the World Cup herself. You know, she has great – you know, we have a plethora of great, talented women to come play for our national team. They're knocking down the door. They're begging to be on this national team. They're waiting for Abby to say goodbye permanently so the next person – you know, the next woman can be up and ready to go. I just feel that – if you're watching this whole World Cup from a whole, from a whole standpoint of all these teams that are either at the same level of the U.S., below the level of the U.S., or somewhere in the middle, everyone's improving, and the U.S. is not going to be that dominating force like they used to be, both on offense and defense. And maybe Jill Ellis has seen that as well. Do I agree with some of her tactics some of the time? Yes. Do I disagree with her tactics some of the time? Yes. It's all up and down for me. But at least I can say, hey, look, yeah, they got their head above the water, but now they're winning. They're winning. They're getting through. And now the real test is coming this Tuesday.
Yep. And I think we're better off playing Germany. I mean, they're both going to be difficult. France controls the field, and the one thing we count on is controlling possession and controlling that midfield battle. And I think if we played France, you would have had a situation where Carly Lloyd would have had to play deeper again. Just naturally, because France had more football.
Exactly.
Instead,
I mean,
instead, I think against Germany, maybe You play Chaney, Holiday. It's Holiday Chaney. She's married now, so she's Holiday. She used to be Chaney. For listeners, when I make that mistake, I'm sorry. She just recently got married and changed her name. And a lot of girls on the team are married. Don't change your last names. But like Alex Morgan's married now, but she's still Alex.
It only depends if Dom Dwyer changes to.
This was told the other day, like, you should take the one of the better players. So Dom Dwyer, player, but Sidney LaRue is his wife. He should be Dom LaRue.
That's
and,
right.
Alex Morgan is married to. I'm blanking out on Alex Morgan's husband's name, but he's a decent MLS player, but he was with Seattle and with Houston. Oh gosh, what's his name? Carrasco. So, but basically, he should be
now. Okay.
Morgan. Yeah. So they got married. They've been together for years, but they got married just recently, 3 months ago or so. They went to Cal together. But that's just a joke, right? That Dom Dwyer should be Dom LaRue because she's the better player. But there's also some questions about Sidney LaRue, right? Because everybody thought LaRue was that next striker. And the way Amy was used today was okay. We're going to win 1-0, right? We're playing to win 1-0, so we don't need to score
six goals.
So we don't need to put a goal scorer on as the other striker alongside Alex Morgan. We're going to put on someone who's going to do a lot of running, doing a lot of chasing, and allow us to press high. So Amy got the call instead of Sidney, and that's kind of that was kind of Jill Ellis' thinking, and it paid off. I mean, I thought. Amy was excellent. I thought she had a good game doing what she's supposed to do. Now, again, American fans aren't that sophisticated, no offense, and they don't realize that they think, well, if it's a forward, the forward has to score. English fans think this way, too. No, I mean, you can have a forward that, if you're going to get a goal from somewhere else, you've got someone like Carly Lloyd, who's, like I said, she's the Lampard of the women's game. She scores a lot of goals from midfield. If you've got someone like that in your midfield, you can have a forward who's not going to score a lot of goals, but it's going to change kind of the pace, the tempo of the game, and hold the ball off and find space and make those runs. And that's what Amy brings to this, to bring to any team she's on. It's what she brings to FC Kansas City. It's what she, when I used to watch her in Philly Independent, it's what she brought. I mean, she didn't score a lot of goals. I mean, she scored goals, but she didn't score Alex Morgan or Abby Wambach goals or Christian Press goals, but she has a usefulness. And in a major tournament like this, you need players like that, which is, again, why I like Heather O'Reilly, who we haven't seen much of in this tournament.
That's right.
Because she can do a lot of little things well, just like Amy Rodriguez does.
Right, absolutely. And I think that's the one thing that we need to see some form of improvements as well. We don't know who's not going to be here anymore. Obviously, Abby Wambach will no longer be on the national team after this World Cup. We'll see what happens if they do find the way to go forward and get to that final. Of course, that's a big test coming up on Tuesday again as they take on the Germans. Let's go to the statistics of this match, Kardik. We've already talked about the possession battle, the ball possession. USA handily was ahead, 56-44. Here are the attempts, and this is really telling on how good their press offense was, their press against China was. Attempts 17-6 in favor of the U.S. On target shots, 4-2 U.S. Off target, 8-2 U.S. Blocked. U.S. blocked 5 shots against the Chinese and 2, and the Chinese blocked 2. So you can see where the U.S. is really, really active on how they wanted to play this game. A young Chinese team where we have to give credit to them, Kardik. The Chinese played very well start for them, but then they started absorbing the pressure, absorbing the press. And even though they had some chances in the second half to maybe rip a shot on frame, just not enough on the shots.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think that they got a young team. This World Cup was a growing experience, but they qualified for every World Cup, but they've had kind of a generational transition, and they've got a great future ahead of them. The thought is in Asia, Japan is going to start to fade. North Korea has started to fade. South Korea isn't quite there yet, so China can reemerge as that power from Asia that Japan's been. And quite frankly, North Korea, who did not qualify for this World Cup, but has been pretty good and still has played well outside of World Cup qualifying recently, that they're better than China right now. But China's got a very young team. The U.S. is a very old team, and I think that was a positive tonight about Morgan Bryan's play, because she's a younger player, and you've got her and Alex Morgan as your two really young players on this team. Alex Morgan now in her second World Cup, but still, relatively speaking, a lot of future ahead of her. And Morgan Bryan was very good, very comfortable in that holding midfield role, and as I said, I think her play, as good as Lauren Holliday's been at times in this tournament, her play allowed Carly Lloyd to get forward more and make those runs. And that was important.
It really was. Absolutely, there really was. By the way, here's a picture snapped by U.S. Soccer. It's got Carly Lloyd holding a bottle of Powerade and a bottle of Dasani water. It says, when you get 200 caps, score the game winner, help your team to the semis, and the elevators still won't work. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Something.
I like that.
We got to talk to Blogsmith about Lansdowne Stadium, man. There's a problem here. We got to talk to him. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who are not aware of, in Ottawa, the home stadium is the home of the Ottawa Fury in the North American Soccer League. That's which is Kardik's backyard, kind of. But at the same time, Blogsmith, we got to get a hold of him and find out what's wrong with these elevators, man. You know, our superstars, they need special treatment to get back upstairs, man.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, Daniel, unfortunately, I'm going to have to drop off the show now. But
Not a problem at all.
It was great being on, and we'll do this again Tuesday night.
Absolutely, we'll do this again Tuesday night. Thank you very much, Kardik.
Thank you.
All right, that's Kardik Krishnayer of World Soccer Talk as we get ready for Tuesday night, the semifinals of the FIFA Women's World Cup, located once again north of us in Canada, and the United States right now in a good position to be in the semis. And of course, that also meant the both suspensions that were already served by Lauren Holliday and Megan Rapinoe, they will be available in the semifinals against the Germans. That also means all four teams, well, at the moment it's only two, the Germans and the U.S. We're going to wait and see tomorrow who's going to advance out of the quarterfinals to go into that other semifinal bracket on the other side. who's going to advance. But anyone who is on yellow card warning has now been wiped out. So if they would have gotten a yellow card in this match, if it was their one yellow card only, that would have been wiped out, and everything has just been fine and dandy, and no problems, no worries at all. Once again, the United States defeating China by a final of a goal to nil, as once again Carly Lloyd heads it in off of a great cross. And Carly Lloyd heads in the ball inside the far post, defeating China for the only score of the match. And just to try and finish us off here as much as we can, is that this was a game where when you got to halftime and it was scoreless still, it was still nil-nil at the half, you felt that while the United States is probably advantage everything, you still got a little worried because you didn't know if China could still find a way to pull a goal out of their pocket and find a way to disrupt the chances for the U.S. to get to the semifinals. So it's a situation, once again, where for the United States that they found ways to get through. They found ways to get through and to just make sure that they're able to get at least a goal out of this. They were able to do so, and they advanced. So this has been pretty damn good right now to see the United States. And all I can say is that, once again, great opportunity for the United States to move ahead. So all I can say is this, great job. Great job for the U.S., great job for Gillis. And once again, like I said before, there is deserving criticism. There is deserving criticism on what Jill Ellis has done. Okay? Deserving criticism if she hasn't done the job the right way. Or if they are winning regardless. The point is that I think some of the criticism has been over the top. And that's all I'm saying. I think Jill Ellis has deserved to have her forward. And the problem is that I don't think Tony DiCicco has a better view of what's going on. I think he's been more critical. He's been more critical of Ellis than he's been saying, well, you know, this is the better view of what I've seen from these games. I just don't think he's been that, how can I say this without really, really being, you know, offensive? But I'm not really being offensive, but I don't want to go over the top here, which I do respect what he's done for the women's game, being the head coach of the 99 Women's World Cup winners. I just feel like he's just going over the top too much. And even though he was a lot better in this one, and they weren't overly critical against China, because maybe China at the time is a lesser opponent, I guess. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is that, you know, Jill Ellis is seeing things differently than what Michelle Akers is seeing and what Tony DiCicco has seen. Can there still be room for improvement? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the truth of the matter is this. I think their criticism, is it warranted? Yes. Because he's always going to try to say, well, you know, I don't think they're doing or they're exploiting the flanks. I don't think they're going down the middle enough and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. All I can say is this. All I can say is that, unfortunately, it's gone overboard, and I just don't think it's warranted. I really don't think it's warranted. She's got enough on her plate. She's got enough on her plate. And I just think that it's going overboard for no reason. I just think it's going overboard for no reason whatsoever. And I really wish they would just calm down and let Jill Ellis, let her do what she needs to do. Because I'm telling you right now, they just got to calm down and allow her to run this team the way she knows how to run this team. Can it be better? Yes. I'm not saying no. Improvement from Jill Ellis needs to come. I agree with that. She needs to not put Carly Lloyd in a poor position to either attack and or defend on the field. But the truth of the matter is this. Things have changed. Things have changed. And right now, we're seeing an improved women's soccer national teams. They're going to go out there and play a real fight. And that is all I am saying about the situation. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to tonight's show, along with Carter Krishnan from World Soccer Talk. I'm Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to this special edition, Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show, the Women's World Cup, USA defeating China in the quarterfinals over in Ottawa, 1-0. Carly Lloyd again from Johnston. Have a good night, everyone, and talk to you on Monday. Bye-bye for now.